That was beautiful, Brother Gary. Thank you. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we sing, be thou our vision, dear Lord. May each and every heart here, dear God, fix the eyes of their heart on the author and perfecter of their faith. May each and every mind just be stayed upon Jesus Christ. And Lord God, may we just be enraptured by your grace and your mercy and your love in this time. Lord, we pray for something beautiful to happen here today. We pray, dear God, for your mercy to descend. We pray for hearts to be opened up to you. We pray, dear God, for saints to be inspired. We pray for sinners to be transformed. We pray for everything in between those two areas, dear God. We just ask that you would move in this place and in this time and let your beauty abound. We love you, O Lord our God. In your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, as you all well know, we have been going through the book of Ephesians now for a few weeks, and every week as we begin, I have somebody read the passage of Scripture. Well, this is actually part two to last week's sermon, and so it was actually already read. But if there is somebody here today who would like to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, I will happily let you. Any takers? If not, oh, please go right ahead, my dear. Amen. Thank you, sister. A beautiful verse, a very powerful verse, two verses, in fact. And one of the things I want to draw out first is how this begins and how important the beginning of these two verses are. Brothers and sisters, I would ask you, even though the topic at hand doesn't speak about it, I would ask you, what is a miracle to you? What is the definition of a miracle? A lot of people look at something super simplistic, like when something good happens to me, you know, that like that I didn't expect or whatever. And other people have a little bit more of a profound thought on it. They'll be like, when the beautiful hand of God pierces the darkness of this world. That's one I am often fond of saying or utilizing. But basically, it is the movement of God. And from the beginning of the Scripture to the end of the Scripture, we see his miraculous movement take place over and over and over again. Barashit bara Elohim. In the beginning, God is the opening words of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And in kind of a way, you could almost say it's like at one time there was nothing, but God initiated all of this stuff. You can look at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Well, why did he send his only begotten son? Because the world needed saving. So you could almost read John 3:16, the beginning of it, as because mankind was lost, but God sent his son. Every time that God moves, it is a miracle, brothers and sisters. Because every time that God moves, it is a movement from the throne of heaven affecting a fallen world that changing its course in a direction that it never could have been changed on its own. I believe in an active God that loves you and me. Can I get an amen? I believe in an active God that we often like pray for that miracle. There's that thing that we want to see, but quite humbly, I believe that God moves more in our lives than we will ever be able to fathom. And then one day we're going to meet him in the clouds. And as the scripture, as I'm fond of saying, because I love the passage and I can't wait for it. When it says that we will meet him in the sky and we will all be transformed in an instant because we will all see him as he really is. To see him as he really is to be transformed. To know him and his whole person is to enter into the crescendo of your life in living. It's going to be a moment of great glory. Amen, brothers and sisters? And it is, like I said, a moment that I look forward to with bated breath. But I'm going to love that moment because it also says, because in that moment, we will fully know just as we are fully known. I'm going to meet up there, and I'm going to see Linda, and I'm going to see Gary, and I'm going to see all these people that I've known for a long time, but I'm also going to see people that I never saw in this world or in this life, and I'm going to fully know them, and they're going to fully know me through the glory and the wisdom and the person of God. But between this moment and that, we find that every time God moves, it should impart a certain amount of knowledge to his people. Why? Because every time that God moves dramatically in the world around us, in our own personal lives, in the life of our church, we learn something more about God. He is active, and he is loving, and he is compassionate, and he is merciful. And we see that in his movement in our lives. And brothers and sisters, I got to tell you, when I first began, I said a lot of times people say that a miracle is when something good happens to them that they can't explain. I got to tell you, sometimes a miracle is when something bad happens to you. God moves in mysterious ways, brothers and sisters. But now, as we come to chapter 4, verse 1, it begins in the Greek language, ha de theos. What does that mean? It means, but God. And this is such an important term because just like I was explaining about John 3:16 earlier, mankind was lost. But God's love for us was so great that he sent his son that whosoever believeth in him might not perish but have everlasting life. And in the same way here and now, we see that scripture is going on. You were lost, you were fallen, you were dead in your transgressions, you were all of these things, but then God. And so every time that we think about even our own salvation, the grace that has been lavished upon us in Jesus Christ that we certainly didn't deserve, it was certainly, we got it without any merit of our own. But God, in his grace, in his mercy, and in his glory, decided to extend it to us, the free gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all God's children said. So it says, but God, Pluosis own, rich being, en elie, in mercy. God, rich, I'm not talking in tongues, by the way. That's Greek. I'm just translating the Greek up here. Rich in mercy. Why but God? Because God is rich in mercy. We live in a world right now where a lot of people, they don't understand mercy. And I have to share with you, do you want to know when you're really going to understand mercy? Is when you receive it. And if I could be just super clear with you all right now, mercy is something that is often in low abundance. A lot of people just aren't kind. A lot of people don't understand the value and the virtue of rising above. Somebody insults you and they ask you to forgive them. Do you? Or do you hold a grudge? Somebody insults you. Do you forgive them before they ask for forgiveness? Do you let it go in your heart? There are a lot of challenges that we are faced with in this world, folks. Dia tein polen, because of the great agapein, love of him. Why has God done this? Why is God, who is rich in mercy and rich in grace, why has he lavished it upon us? Because he is also rich in love. Hein agapasein emas, with which he loved us. He is rich in his rich, with which he richly loves us. The scripture builds on itself here. All that we have and all that we have received, do you understand that to receive grace from Jesus Christ is to receive a miracle? Did you know that to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior, a miracle takes place at that moment? A lot of people say, why doesn't God do the miracles like he did in the Bible? Well, I think on some instances he does. I don't think it's quite as daily an event as it's made out in the scripture. However, the greatest miracle that there has ever been is when one lost soul makes the Lord its choice. when one person that's filled with the vinegar and the vitriol that this world has taught it to have, when it's had it up to here with the poison and the toxicity of this world, when it feels broken inside, when that heart has become calloused, bruised, as if branded with a branding iron, says the scripture, it is a miracle that the Lord can take what we flop in front of him through all of the garbage and all of the struggles and all of the muck and miry clay that we have waded through in our lives, and to have these scarred souls and to lay them before them and say, there it is, Lord, and it's yours if you want it. And then he, being rich in mercy and rich in grace, and he picks it up. He picks us up and he cleanses us and he washes those wounds away. Brothers and sisters, you know, the greatest thing in all of creation, the thing that the heroes of the Old Testament, all of our Davids, our Samsons, our Elijahs and Elishas, the thing that the scripture says they yearned for, that they longed to see its revealing, was the grace and the love that would enrapture the heart of the one who gave their heart to Christ Jesus. And you have that. Amen? If you don't have it, please see me after class. I will be right there, because there is nothing like it. The deep, deep love of God. But God, Ploisis own, rich being, en es elie, mercy, dia ein polein, because of the great agapein, love, auto of him, with which agaposin, he loved emas, us, with which he loved us. So many broken, so many hurting. I challenge you, brothers and sisters, and some of you have heard me say some of the things I'm about to say, and as I've mentioned to you before, in this world, I believe that the average human being never really surpasses the second highest level of love, the phileo love, the brotherly love, because that's the closest thing to a higher love we've ever known. My brother and sister-in-law were here a couple Sundays ago, and of course I had to tease him because he was here. He was my older brother. He grew up teasing me. Now I'm the bigger brother, so I tease him. But, you know, I said, my brother's over here. Do you think I love him? I was like, well, of course I do. It's my brother. Do you think I've ever wanted to throttle him? Of course I have. He is my brother. And this is where brotherly love will carry us. Brothers, this might not be true of all you wonderful sisters out there, but brothers will get into it in the middle of their house, and it might roll into the backyard. There might be sofas tipped over. There might be broken pots. There might be all kinds of things. But then the next moment when somebody says something about your brother, now it's 2-on-1. Because you might still be sitting there with a black eye or a bloody nose and say to somebody else, you don't get to talk about my brother that way. Brotherly love is not free of strife, but it is beautiful. And it is, I think, the highest form of love that people can ever experience without experiencing Christ. When you take part in Christ and you understand why the scripture says we know what love is because he first loved us. Amen? Are you starting to get it? Because he first loved us with that agape love. We can know what agape love is. So when Jesus Christ says to us, when he says to Linda or to Gary or to Robert or whomever, and he says, brother or sister, like he said to Peter, do you at least love me with a phileo love? We get to say, no, God, I worship you with an agape love because I know what agape love is because you first loved me with it. And when you have experienced it, and when you've come to know what it is, brothers and sisters, you start turning into mush inside, but in a good way. You start shedding tears of joy instead of tears of sadness. You will become rich in mercy just as you have received mercy. You will be caring and compassionate just as you have received care and compassion. You will start to exhibit the activities of the person of God in your life because you have met the God that is the author of agape love. When you come to meet Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, your life should change. Because, as verse 4 closes out, agapein auto ein agapasein emas, because of the great love of him with which he loved us. Love changes everything. They do a study normally every year on all of the songs that come out in the previous year. And they weigh the topics. And for every single year, for as long as they have been doing this, which I know goes back into the 70s, every year the number one topic of all the songs that are written is love. But every year there's always a caveat. Not every song espouses love the same way. Not every song uses the word love in an interchangeable fashion. But people write from what they know, and they always write of love. Brothers and sisters, the scripture talks to you and I that we are God's living letters. And in fact, we're not there yet, but it's at the end of the book of Ephesians where this is mentioned, where it says, all of you as God's living poems, from which we get the English word poem. Each of us are God's living poems being written out on canvases of flesh and blood that are meant to convey his perfect love to this lost and dying world, so that the greatest love that mankind will know will not be brotherly love, as beautiful as that can be, but will be God's version of agape love, a love of self-sacrifice, a love of self-surrender, a love that does not seek its own, a love that holds no record of wrong, a phrase I'm often fond of using when we talk about love. Once upon a time, a bunch of grade schoolers were interviewed. Excuse me, not grade schoolers, kindergartners. And they were asked what love is. And of course, all of them came up with their own cute little answers as they tried to define what love is. But there was one young boy at the age of 5, who by now must be some poet extraordinaire somewhere, said, love is when your name is safe in someone's mouth. What does that mean? It means that your name is not held in vain in their mouth, that your name does not become a cuss word that escapes people's lips, that your name does not become a source for gossip or destructing or tearing down. It means, as should be common amongst all people who know the love of God, your name, someone's name in your mouth, when it's mentioned, should only be mentioned to build people up. It seems like I'm picking on her a lot today, but it'd just be like if we were over here at the grocery store, right over here behind the church a ways, and I was in one lane and you were in the other lane, and say Gary was there next to me, and I was talking, and I said, hey, how about that Linda lady at our church? And then you're in that lane, you're like, ooh, what's he going to say? And the next thing that comes out of my mouth is something like, there is a lovely lady who has her head screwed on right, amen, amen. You know, and so you should only hear. Your name should be safe in people's mouths. People who have the love of God within them, the agape love, should understand that God moved heaven and hell to make sure that you could be safe. The least that we can do as a loving people of God is keep each other's names, lives, their stories, they're all safe. And only speak things that build up. And as we come to verse 5, this is a powerful section. Verse 5 begins so deeply. Kai antos emas nekros. Now some of you, not speaking Greek, might know what the word nekros means. It means dead or death. In the literal translation, not a smooth one, but a literal word for word in the right order translation of the first few words of verse 5 is this. Being we dead. For you were lost in your transgressions. The wages of sin is death. The author of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, said before Christ, being we dead. Tois, oh, here's a difficult one. Parapatosothensin, woo, in trespasses. Suse zona poesan, made us alive. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be dramatic up here. I'm just trying to share a little bit of the root wording behind this. Being we dead, made alive with us. This verse, it speaks of a dynamic. There's an obtuse turn here. There is a sharp turn that's being made here. It speaks about where we formerly were without Christ versus where we are now in Christ. Being we dead, we have been transformed. Being we dead, we have been made alive in Jesus Christ. Being we dead because of our trespasses and sin, we have been made alive. Why? Because of His mercy and His grace. What is the fulcrum with which your salvation rested upon? The mercy and the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. The scripture then goes on to say, now be ye perfect as I am perfect. And it's funny because that passage, be ye perfect as I am perfect, we take it to mean, now let's go and be spotless. Now let's go and never sin again. Now let's never go and have a coarse thought or a wrong word come out of our mouths. Let me tell you, if you can do that, kudos to you. But the proactivity of Jesus Christ, He didn't come just to not mess up. He came to show us a better way. Can I get an amen? And in the same way, your life isn't just supposed to be about, don't let me mess up. But your life is supposed to be about striving to accomplish and achieve great things under the banner of the name of Jesus Christ. And the greatest thing that you can ever do, well, now exists what? Should I believe? Should I have hope? Now abide these three, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. What is the best thing in the world you can do? Love. Agape love. Which you can only know through meeting Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior. So right now is the moment where I'd like to say, so brothers and sisters, if this applies to anyone in here, what are you waiting for? Take hold of the person of Jesus Christ and let Him take hold of you. Let Him baptize you in His agape love and allow yourself to drink it in deeply. And then go and live as Christ lived by invading this world with the love of Jesus Christ. This world has been invaded with the infection of sickness, death, and dying. And brothers and sisters, as we already mentioned, what's one of the definitions of a miracle that actually makes a little bit of theological sense? It's the bright light hand of God piercing the darkness of this world. And understand, you, as God's holy poiemes, filled with the agape love of Jesus Christ, is a huge part of the way that the hand of Jesus Christ gets to pierce the darkness of this world. Be ye different. Be ye transformed. Be ye loving and kind. Brothers and sisters, the last few words of verse number 5 say this: Christo. I bet some of you might know what that name means, or that word means. Christo. Cariti este seso menoi. Christ, by whose grace you are saved. Brothers and sisters, how is the Christian life possible? How is it possible to move from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light? How is it possible to move from somebody who struggles daily, wondering if you're about to have an emotional collapse, to somebody that can go out and do great things for God in His service and in His name? How do you go from somebody that doesn't want to talk to anybody about anything to becoming a full open mouth evangelist? How do you go from where you are now to where God wants you to be? It is only through divine inspiration, and that comes with the love of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, to read these verses a little bit smoother, but God, rich being in mercy, because of the great love of Him with which He loved us, even being we dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you are saved. Through no merit of our own, through no effort of our own. There are a lot of people in this world that want to teach you some methodology behind how you can be saved. All you got to do is go down to the Virgin of Guadalupe and walk on your knees up so many steps. The purchase of indulgences, that taking the Bible plus these other holy books. There are so many ways, shapes, and forms that people want to tell you how to get closer to God. In my life, in my understanding, at this stage of the game, I still stand by my old motto: Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Brothers and sisters, if you are here today and you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you have more than all you will ever need. And it only gets better. There's a challenge before us, church family. If you need your walk with Jesus Christ refreshed, then please come and pray. If you need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior, please come and pray. If you just need to be inspired, pray the Lord inspires you. But let's not leave this room till we're all a little bit different. Will you pray with me? Our most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we turn our hearts and minds to you right now, and we ask you, dear God, to invade this moment as only you can. Father God, I pray that you will reach into the hearts and minds of every man and woman here today, dear God. I pray that you will make and create a profound difference within them. Father God, if there is bitterness, help them to sweeten up. If there is a tendency to speak words of destruction, then Father God, silence the voices that tell them that that's a good thing to do. Father God, if there's anybody wrestling with self-hate, I ask you, dear God, to please share with them what a precious gift that they are to this world that was created by your own hands. If there's somebody who's struggling with some task or some issue, I pray, Lord God, your peace upon them, and I pray your ability upon them as well. And Father God, if any of us lacks wisdom of the knowledge of your Son and the experience of your Son, then Father, I just pray out James 1:5 right now, because Father God, you promised that if any of us lack wisdom, you would provide it liberally. Help the wrestling hearts, dear God. Help the wrestling minds. And Father God, if there is decision to be made today that glorifies you, let it be made. We love you, Lord. In your Son's name, amen. Will you please rise?